Hello and welcome to another episode of the David Hessian podcast. So this is the first solo episode in a while because I've had some guests on, but this week my two guests, I had to move them around and ended up with nothing to post this week. So here we are. What today is going to be about is going to be a little bit of a recap on what I learned in 2019 and then talk a little bit about setting goals for 2020 and what my goals are. So, hope everyone had a very good Christmas, and let's get into it. So the first thing, it's not the first thing I learned this year, these aren't in order, but it's the first thing I have on my list, things that I learned, is that self-discipline is freedom. So, let's say financial freedom, for example, I talked about this on my Instagram story. If you want to be financially free, you don't need that much money, you just need to be really disciplined with your money. Let's say if right now when you have no money, for example, you write down a list of all the things you need to be completely happy, even if that involves travel, food, water, whatever it is, the amount of money that is, let's say it's 300 per week. Like if you wanted to travel somewhere new every month, accommodation in that place, food, whatever, it'd probably be about 300 per week max. And you probably make more than that, most people who are working. If you're in college or uni, you definitely cost more than that for college accommodation and tuition and everything. So either way, you're blowing through more than that anyways. I live off less than that myself, to be honest, and I have an apartment in London. So you definitely don't need that much money. Yet people on a 500 per month kind of income, or 500 per week income, think that that's not a lot of money compared to what they could be doing. You know, that's only 25,000 a year. It's not a lot. It is quite easy to make that amount. So you have to kind of look at it like that. That if you had the discipline to, even as your income increases, still only spend that amount each week and have it set, you'd be free to basically go wherever you want with that income. So if you could just find a way to make £300 online per week, or 300 euro per week online, you're golden. Like you can go wherever you like, completely free, no one to answer to, do whatever you like, and it's not that difficult to make that amount of money. I obviously wouldn't limit yourself to only making that amount, because I think you'd get there quite quickly, and then after that the only way is up. But it definitely is very, very doable. So just think about what it is that you want to do. If your goal is just money, obviously then you're never going to be free from it, because that number, that bar will keep moving. But yeah, another thing is that I don't actually have written down, but I just thought of it, is Parkinson's Law. So I learned that from James Smith. I heard him talking about it, but it was always something I'd kind of thought about. I didn't know there was a name for it. And I also read it in the 4-Hour Workweek. And that is that when you give an amount of time to something, whether you give an hour or a day or a week to a task, you will let that task expand into the space, basically. So if I said, okay, I have to write an essay for school and I have a week to do it, it'll be last minute, like it'll be the week it'll take me to do it. If I give myself an hour to do it and I really need to get it done and I set that as a deadline, you'll get it done in an hour. So that's just the whole Parkinson's Law, is about allotting time to something. When you do that, you put on like your peripheral vision and you don't fuck around with any of the bullshit and getting something done, and you just do the essential parts, and sometimes that's even more effective and you actually get a really good essay done, or you do the job actually quite well because you have to give laser focus to the task when you're doing it and there's no multitasking, you're given 100% focus. Another thing I've learned, there's a lot of weird things in this, like they're all kind of life things, but this is more business, let's say, is the amount of money that businesses reinvest. So because obviously the more and more your business makes, the more tax that you pay, and it's not that I make, my business is making so much money that I'm reinvesting or anything, but it's just thinking, learning from people who are making a lot of money, is that they take, very successful business people take very little money out of their business. Because the more they reinvest and the less their profits are, the more kind of things they get, or the more they can grow their business, yet they're not having that huge a huge surplus for the year where they have to pay tax on it. And the even looking at M&S, where they make like 40 something billion per year, and they take in a profit of like 60 million, which is like a just over 1% profit per year that they make, because they reinvest so much of it in building up the brand and expanding. So obviously they're getting more and more capital, and more, and they're owning more and more things each year, but they're only taking a relatively small profit. Like, imagine if you were making 100,000 a year, if you were only saving 1,000 per year. If you're self-employed, I could understand that, and you're building up a business. But if you're employed and you're only saving 1,000 per year on 100,000 a year salary, that's insanity. So it's very different when it's a business, especially because you can put nearly everything you do down to a business expense, depending on what job you have, and then take a salary separately, and the salary could be quite small, and then you pay very little income tax. So just a little bit about that. That was something I was very surprised at, how much even big companies like that, who you think are making so much money, which they are, like 48 billion or 46 billion in revenue is an insane number to even think about for a shop like M&S. But then for their profit to only be 1.2% is crazy. No one is certain of what they are doing. That's something else I learned. So you always look at other people and think, well, that person has it all together, they know what they're doing, or someone, I think they've just got more used to the fact that they're never going to know what they're doing. People who look like they know what they're doing are just people who have accepted the fact that they're never going to know, so they're just content with the struggle of not knowing what they're doing. Like when I got into personal training, I was like, in a few weeks I'll have my footing, I'll know exactly what I'm doing. The more PTing I do, not so much on the PTing side, that's quite simple. Like that's something I had a lot of work done on before I even started, and I kind of knew what I was going to do. But on the business side of things, the more I learn, the more I realize I have fucking no idea what I'm doing. And the more I realize that no one else does either. And the people who I thought knew what they were doing have no fucking clue either, but they just kind of hold their shit together a little bit better. So anyone that looks at someone doing well in like their job or their business or in life, they probably have the same thing, feeling of like, I have no fucking idea what I'm doing. Especially if you're in college and you're coming out and you're thinking, what am I supposed to do now after doing 4 years in college, or 5 years or 3 years, whatever it is. Just know that people who look like they have their shit together definitely don't. And that's the same for almost everyone. There's probably a few exceptions to that, but very few. I think another one is that people really, really overestimate what they will do in a day, but severely underestimate what you could do in a year. And that's not to say that you can get a lot more done in a day than most people think, but when you're setting goals for what you want to do in the day, you should just have one thing that you really need to get done. And if you do that 365 days in a row, the amount of stuff you'll achieve in a year is astronomical compared to what I imagine most people achieve. If you have one thing that really matters to you that you achieve every single year, or every single day for an entire year, and then you go, let's say, even 10 years into the future, that person will be so far ahead of where they were, even by just doing one thing each day. So that's what I mean by that people overestimate what you can do in a day, but underestimate what they can get done in a year. And that'll come kind of into when it comes to goal setting in 2020, the second part of this. Another thing I learned is patience. So getting into personal training over in London, everything takes 10 times as long as you'd expect. So finding a house, moving over here first, like my biggest stresses as well. Every time I get to like a new month, the thing that seems like the worst thing, the biggest problem in your life, just doesn't matter the next month. So like the first month it was moving over here, didn't have a place to stay, living in a hostel, and it was just really loud and really hot. Then the next month we kind of had a place, and then it was finding like a proper job. And then the next month, it was finding a place to go after that month when I did have a job. And then that month, it was finding a guarantor. So each month, it was just like, each problem seemed like it was the biggest problem ever. And then as you get to the next month, you look back and you're like, now I'm looking at like staying in a hostel. That was fine. At least you had a place to stay. It was cheap. The worst problem was that it was hot outside, but at least it was sunny. Now it's dark and it's like 5 o'clock in the evening. So I'm like, each month, the problems, whatever problem seems like the biggest problem ever now, try and look a little bit into the future and think, okay, this isn't going to be a problem in 2 weeks' time. But back to patience. So yeah, moving over here first, thought I'd find a house in like 2 days. Took probably about 2 months before we found the place that we're living in now. Finding a job, I'm still not sure about what exactly, which, where I want to work as far as a physical place, but as far as what I want to do, I'm pretty sure I want to go online. So that won't require a place, but it's been 5 months since I moved to London. I thought I'd be very, very well established by now, and I'm still not sure of what I want to do, and I'm not sure I will be in the next 5 months, but getting better all the time. Next thing I learned is something pretty weird, and that is that I absolutely love education. And this coming from someone who went to school part-time, dropped out for like a year, just didn't go to school for like a year, didn't drop out. I was always going to come back and do my Leaving Cert, but I just got the notion that it was kind of like the whole Parkinson's law. This is kind of like what my thinking of it was back in the day before I even knew that this is a thing. So I only found out about Parkinson's law a couple of months ago, but when I was in secondary school, I said the only reason school takes 6 years is because they give you 6 years to do it. That's kind of what I always used to say. Like when people would say that we'd be in school, I'd be like, if college is so much harder than school, how come you can do it in 4 years and school takes 14 years? And people were like, oh, because you have to learn this first in order to go on, yada, yada, yada. And they came up with all these things. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to not go to school for like the next 6 months because I don't want to. I want to do something else during that time. And I'll come back and do it a little bit more condensed version of school and probably do just as well in my exams. And I done fine, passed everything. I was told by lots of teachers that I was going to fail every exam because I didn't go to school. But it never really crossed my mind that I actually would, except for Irish. I thought I was going to fail that flat out, but managed to scrape it. Also, I really, really enjoy reading. And I was always one for audiobooks, but I've realized when I actually sit down and read, I take in a lot more from a book when I read it than if I listen to it. And I always would have thought I was someone who learned by listening. Well, I always was someone who learned by listening and watching. But I thought more so listening to like an audiobook while I was doing something else, I'd passively pick up stuff. But not at all. As the last few months have gone on, I could be listening to an audiobook and 20 minutes later, I don't even know what the person has said. So I've started reading, but I can only read when I'm doing something else, which is weird. Not doing something as such, but if I'm on a train, on a bus, when there's something else happening so that I can't go anywhere, then I'll read. If I was sitting at home, I'd be thinking about all the other things I could be doing. Whereas if I'm on a bus, I'm like, all right, I can't do anything else, so I might as well read. And then I take in every word when I do it like that. And I've really started to love physical books and just learning from other people. Also, going to like courses and learning from people who have done things is, I find it so beneficial, so helpful. And I think that was one of my problems with school was, it was that you had to be there. It was nothing to do with how much work you got done or how high quality your work was. It was, you have to be there 9 to 4. Yeah, and then study afterwards if you wanted to. And it wasn't about, all right, here's what you have to do today. As soon as you get it done, you can fuck off. So that was always my problem with school. Whereas when it's like a book or something, or life in general, once you get the work done, once you've made your product, once you've done your service, once you've put the systems in place, then you're done this task. It's not about being in there from 9 to 5. So that was something, the kind of education that I'm getting now, I prefer a lot more. And as well as that, a lot of the people I learn from now are people who have gone out, done things, taken experience from real life, and then they're passing it on to others. Whereas with school, nothing against teachers, I know it's their job, but they never have, most of them have never been outside of a school setting. They went straight from play school to primary school to secondary school to college or university, straight back to school to teach. And it's just like this cycle that they've never been outside of that world, and they're trying to teach everyone else who have different ambitions to do the same thing. And I just found it very hypocritical, because it was like, well, you want me to do what you did, but I don't want the same outcome you have. So that was always my pet peeve with school. I've also learned that not going to college was definitely the right decision for me. Not to say that I'll never go to college, but having this time to go and experience a different country and kind of my own business and stuff, I could definitely see myself going back, and I have the tools to just completely like be self-sufficient while in college, and to believe that I definitely could do that, because I think a lot of people probably could. But when you have the choice of going to college, your parents paying for it, not having to work, and as I said, with college you'll fill the 4 years with just college if that's all you have to do, whereas if I wanted to keep my business going full-time and also do college full-time, I think I'd enjoy that more. I'd have a jam-packed schedule, but I'd be very productive with my time. I'd have to cut out any bullshit and just do the productive parts. And that's why I always say I'm never going to do a course that takes attendance, because I'm not going to attend just for the sake of attending. So definitely something I learned this year is that I made the right decision by not going to college. And I always kind of thought that anyways, because it was never, if I don't go this year, I can never go. You can always go back. So I think when it's a choice like that, and you have nothing to lose other than figure out that you were wrong and then have the knowledge instead of going, what if? So that brings me on to setting goals for 2020. So when you want to set your goals for 2020, one piece of advice I'd give everyone is make sure you set them outside the scope of what you think you could possibly do in a year. And the reason I say this is people often, even people you think are cocky or very confident, often limit themselves with the goals that they set or what they think they're capable of. And why I say this is because you see so many people not doing what they really want to do because they use realistic, or how would you say it, saying that, oh, I have to be realistic, or I have to live in the real world, and they use that as an excuse not to do what they really want. Like, let's say if someone wanted to be an astronaut, but they're like, oh, no, I'll go and do arts in college instead, because it's like a safer option. Or I won't say arts, because arts probably isn't a safe option, but let's say they went and done science or maths in college, because they're like, oh, I'll become a teacher. It's a safer option. I'm guaranteed a job. Whereas if I was like an astronaut, I might never make it. Or if I wanted to be an actor, I might never make it. And yeah, you can do that, but what's the point? Isn't the goal of every person to be as happy as you can in life? And when you settle for something like that, you're never going to be as happy as you could be, and you'll always be wondering, what if? Whereas if you go, especially when you're a student, if you go and do the thing that you really wanted to do and you fail, you just end up back where you were anyways. I don't know any students that have a mortgage or a family or like anything that they could lose. All they lose is maybe a few months' time when they realize they made the wrong decision and they're back to where they started. So I think you should definitely set your goals a lot higher and your ambitions a lot higher than you think you should, and aim for them, because I guarantee you that even if it seems like, let's say if your goal was, I'm going to make €1 million next year. If that was really your goal that you wanted to achieve next year, you 100% could make it happen. And so many people have. Like, there's the difference between you and the people who have is just that they went and did it, that they weren't afraid of like not taking the safe option. And it's something anyone can do. So mine are just, setting goals is just always keep them in view as well. So when you write down your goals, put them on like a whiteboard or a piece of paper or something in your room that you can see all the time, so it's always in your face. And make sure that they're really big and really scary. If your goals don't scare you, they're probably not big enough. So onto my goals. I want 2020 to be the happiest, most successful year of my life. And what that means for me is I've listed the things that I want to achieve. So I want to take my business 100% online. And basically the reason for that comes back to freedom, I guess. The freedom to be able to go wherever I want in the world. And as I said, it doesn't take that much money or income in order to keep that going, because I'm not going to have like a mortgage in any one country or anything like that. I'll just have, all I'll have is my flight tickets and wherever I stay in the countries that I go. That'll be all, or train tickets, save the environment. So that's why I want to have that. It's also a much better option as far as like rent in a gym or hours in a gym. They basically control you when they have that. Like you could be paying £700 to £1,500 in rent for a gym, and you don't get to charge that much more than someone who's doing online training. And I think that's not it's just the way things are going to go. And the benefit from online training, I think, can even outweigh personal training in some ways. And the kind of downside to personal training is much larger than the downside to online training. So that's why it's something that I'm interested in. Obviously, if you're a very sports specific or technique specific personal trainer, where you're working on like Olympic lifting or some sort of sport, and it's not based around like fat loss or just basic muscle building, then obviously one-to-one is the way to go, but you can charge a premium price for it, and then it's kind of worth your while. But as far as like fat loss goes, the general population, online, it seems to be the way to go, just because value for money and the kind of contact they get with you. Whereas if it was just a one-to-one PT, they just get contact with you for 1 hour in the gym, then they don't hear from you again until the next hour. And it's just not worth, it for them, in my opinion. I also want to read 25 plus books. So that's basically 2 books a month. A little bit over it, and that is because I just want to continuously be learning something new. As I said, I've learned that I love education, so I want to always be learning something. I don't think I'll ever go back to reading fiction books. Maybe sometime, just to like unwind time. But I really enjoy non-fiction. Yeah, and I don't think I'll ever go back to reading fiction books. I love non-fiction books. Anything self-help related, anything science related, just absolutely love it. And I think it's a good way of kind of, I find I learn more from reading a book than if I listen to something, because I can stop, take notes. And so yeah, definitely want to read some more books. Be happy every day is probably my biggest goal for next year, and that is just to wake up happy every morning. You know, when some mornings you wake up and you're dreading like going to work or going doing something, I don't really get that anymore. Sometimes I feel it like if I've ate too much the night before, or if I was out drinking or something, and just waking up feeling a bit shit. I don't want to have that at all this year. And that's my goal, is to wake up happy every morning, having got enough sleep, having fueled my body right. Obviously, I'm not saying I won't drink for an entire year. I'd love to say that, but I don't know if that will happen. But we'll aim to minimize any effects from alcohol as we can, and try and have as healthy and happy every morning as I can. I want to visit a minimum of 5 countries and to go skiing. So that is just to 5 countries, hopefully, that I haven't been to before. But maybe there will be ones I visited already. And I want to go skiing because it was the favorite holiday I ever went on, even though I got in loads of trouble on it, like 2 or 3 times, got like told we had to stay in our houses and not leave me and a few of my friends, because just stupid shit. But it was still like the best holiday ever. Love snow. The scenes when you're skiing are absolutely insane. Some of the best scenes you ever see in your life. And it's one of the most fun exercises you can do. It's like you're skiing down a mountain. Literally, you don't have to book any activities when you go skiing, because skiing is the activity. You're there from 9 to 5 all day, moving around. Doesn't feel like you're doing exercise. You're absolutely fucked in the evenings. You go to bed. You can go to bed fairly early, get up really early, go skiing again. Unbelievable coffee up in the Alps. And yeah, it was just the best. It's good for my soul. So that's why I want to definitely do that this year, or in 2020. Last thing I have on my list is to earn 100k. And that's kind of my goal for where I want my business to be at, taking in I want my business to be taking in 100k. Obviously, I'd be happy enough with about 20k for me, and the rest be reinvested in my business. But for all the things that I want to do with my business this year, that would be the number I'm aiming to hit. And that's not because I want 100,000 in my bank, even though that'd be lovely. Just to not, I want to not have to worry about money. That's my biggest goal with money. It's not about a number. And as far as my business plan goes, if I hit 100k next year, that'll be exactly what I wanted to do with my business. So yeah, I think that's quite a good goal for first full year in business, but we'll see how that goes. As far as revenue goes, I want to be 100k, and as I said, companies like M&S taking in 1.2% profit, I hope to take in at least 20%, maybe 25% for myself to fund a bit of a traveling lifestyle, but also with the hope of doing most of that online, which would be a great feat with the small following I have. And that's kind of everything for today. Quite a short podcast, long as far as my solo episodes go. That's everything I wanted to get through on what I learned in 2019, setting goals for 2020. And I hope somebody out there will take something from this, set a huge goal for 2020, and then by the time March comes around, they'll have absolutely smashed it. Also, if any of your goals have anything to do with getting in shape, getting lean, building some muscle, mostly getting lean, I'm launching a program the 20th of January, and that is for students, the Student Shred. So any students looking to lose weight or reduce body fat percentage, just get lean, start looking better, feeling better, and also learn a bit about training. So obviously by being part of it, you'll learn a bit about how to train, how to eat right, how to fuel your body around your training times, and hopefully you'll enjoy it as well. So if that's something you're interested in, click the link in my bio on Instagram to fill out my type form and I'll get in contact with you. If not, just literally send me a message on any social media to find out some more information. Thanks for listening, and Happy New Year to everyone.